brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What are you and I stirring up this Advent? Last Sunday afternoon at our congregation's Christmas party, there was quite a number of goodies that people had stirred up at home. And as we get closer to Christmas, no doubt the people will be stirring up even more goodies. Get those mixing bowls and spoons ready. Last Wednesday, in the first sermon of our midweek series on the traditional collects of Lent, or Advent rather, we reflected on the short, highly structured, and focused prayer for Advent 1, which asked the Lord to stir up his power and come so that we might be rescued and saved. Tonight, as we continue the sermon series, we reflect on the collect for Advent 2, which asks God the Father to stir up our hearts to make ready the way of his Son, so that by his coming, we may be enabled to serve the Father. Reportedly, this is the most widely used of the Advent collects. Tonight's essentially asks for stirred up hearts to make ready and serve. If you pull out your half-page service outline printed on the front, you will see the collect for the second Sunday in Advent and the week following. And I apologize for the typo. The word rain should be rains. And with that correction, let us read it together now. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. When we think about asking the Lord to stir up our hearts, we have to move beyond the idea of a literal mixing bowl and spoon. The Lord is not going to use a spoon to stir up our hearts, not that we could put our hearts in a mixing bowl to begin with. Of course, as God speaks in the Bible, our hearts are also more than the muscle that pumps blood through our bodies. For example, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for heart can also refer to such things as our inner beings, our mind, our will, our understanding, our soul, our thinking, our inclination, resolution, and determination, and our conscience. The same word can refer to the seat of our moral character, appetites, emotions, and passions. When the heart stirs us up, it incites us to action. But the action is not always good. An Old Testament example of the heart stirring someone up to no good is Amaziah, one-time king of Judah, whose heart, after Judah had defeated some Edomites, boastfully lifted or stirred him up to battle Jehoash, then the king of Israel. Well, Jehoash captured Amaziah, destroyed a section of Jerusalem's walls, robbed the temple, and took hostages. In some ways, Amaziah had been a good king until he worshipped gods other than the Lord God, and refused to listen to a prophet that the Lord had sent to him. So God determined to destroy Amaziah. We may not be kings of Israel, but by nature we suffer from similar problems and ultimately deserve the same destruction. In the New Testament, Jesus says that out of our hearts, and so out of our mouths, come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. And that's a good chunk of the commandments right there. As we are guilty of breaking any one, we are guilty of breaking them all. And for such guilt, we deserve to be destroyed by death here in time and hellish torment for eternity. Apart from God, we are no more likely to stir up our hearts to do anything pleasing to him than the ingredients we put into a mixing bowl are likely to stir themselves up. And I do not mean vinegar and baking soda that so many use to simulate volcanic eruptions for school projects. In the Gospel reading Sunday, we earnestly heard John the Baptizer cry out to us, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." But ultimately, when it comes to our hearts, the Lord is the only one who can fill the valleys, make low the hills, straighten the crooked, and level the rough places. The Lord does all of those things, enabling us to repent, turn in sorrow from our sin, and believe, trust him to forgive our sins, so that as a result, we can see the salvation of God in the person and work of his Son. As we heard in tonight's second reading, the angel Gabriel told the Virgin Mary what would happen. And that reading was echoed in a somewhat fanciful way in the office hymn. The Holy Spirit came upon the Virgin Mary, and the power of the Most High overshadowed her, so that the child that was born of her was not only her son, but also the Son of the Most High God. Mary and Joseph named him Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. And so he did. Out of his great love for us, the otherwise sinless God-man, Jesus Christ, on the cross died for your sins and for mine. After parts of 3 days, he rose from the dead, showing that God the Father had accepted his sacrifice on our behalf. Now ascended to the right hand of the Father, he sits on the throne of his father David and reigns over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. The Lord does not use a spoon to stir up our hearts, but he uses his word read and preached in the divine service, his word combined with water in holy baptism, his word spoken by a pastor in individual holy absolution, and his word that makes bread his body and wine his blood in holy communion. In all of these ways, the Lord stirs up our hearts to make ready the way of his only begotten Son, who himself comes to us in these very same ways. In all of these ways, the Lord forgives the sins of all who repent and believe, distributing to us the benefit of Jesus' death on the cross. So we who test and examine our ways and return to the Lord lift up or stir up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. And even that response of faith is ultimately God's doing, even as his coming enables us to serve him with pure minds as we pray in the collect. An Old Testament example of hearts stirring people up to do good is the congregation of the Israelites, who contributed more than what was needed for the tent of meeting, its service, and the holy garments, those who fabricated the raw material and who otherwise did the work. Their hearts stirred them up, as the collect prays of us, to serve God with pure minds. Tonight's closing hymn, like other Advent hymns, tries to make clear that the action begins with God, and then it continues as God works in and through us. Reflecting tonight on the collect for Advent 2, we have realized that God gives us stirred up hearts to make ready and serve. As we hold fast to him in love, daily repenting and believing, he, as we sang in tonight's psalm, delivers us, protects us, answers us, is with us in trouble, rescues us, honors us, and satisfies us with long life, showing us his salvation. The long-promised and long-awaited Savior came once, and that coming assures us that he will both continue to come to us now in his word and sacraments and come a final time in glory. Then we will have the perfect and complete peace pictured in tonight's first reading. As we sang in the opening hymn, we say again now, then when he will come again as the glorious King to reign, we with joy will see his face, freely ransomed by his grace. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.